Well, see, I already explained. Vinny ain't no Kojak. All he can do is call down to the sheriff in Baudette, put out some boats, line up a plane or two. That's a start, Wade said. It's something, I guess. So let's move. Claude was still evaluating the empty pots. He waited a moment, then crossed over to the kitchen sink. Those flowers, man. What the hell happened?
Nothing, Wade said. An accident.
Yeah?
Claude, we're wasting time.
A little vein wobbled at the old man's forehead. He picked up one of the pots and turned it in his hands.
Some accident, he said.
Chapter 12. Evidence. It has been said that a miracle is the result of causes with which we are unacquainted. Once these causes are discovered, we no longer have a miracle, but natural law. In a way, all of us dislike the laws of nature. We should prefer to make things happen in the more direct way, in which savage people imagine them to happen, through our own invocation. Robert Parrish, The Magician's Handbook. He actually thought of himself as sorcerer. That's how it seemed to me. And Kathy was his main audience. I can't see how she put up with it. Maybe she hoped he'd pull off a real miracle or something. For her own life, I mean. I guess sometimes my sister thought of him as sorcerer, too. Patricia S. Hood. For the spectator, there is the complimentary pleasure of yielding passively to an omnipotent and mysterious force, of submitting helplessly to mounting swells of excitement where reason is overthrown and judgment scuttled. Bernard C. Meyer, Houdini, A Mind in Chains. He was a charmer, literally. Wrap you up in charms till you couldn't fucking move. Anthony L. Tony Carbo. A nice, polite man, if you ask me. Ruth Rasmussen. Kathy knew he had these secrets, things he wouldn't talk about. She knew about the spying. Maybe I'm wrong, but it was like she needed to be part of it. That whole sick act of his. Bethany Key, Associate Admissions Director, University of Minnesota. You may find yourself crying in corners and vowing that his buddies may have died on him in Vietnam. The brass may have turned its collective back on him, but you will never desert him. He needs you. Whether he can say it or not, whether he can act like it or not, he needs you. Patience H. C. Mason, recovering from the war. I guess Kathy loved him so much, she couldn't see what was happening all around her, like this pixie dust. Sprinkle on the love, you end up fooling yourself. Patricia S. Hood. Audiences want to believe what they see a magician do, and yet at the same time they know better and do not believe. Therein lies the fascination of magic to modern people. It is a paradox, a riddle, a half-fulfillment of an ancient desire, a puzzle, a torment, a cheat, and a truth. Robert Parrish, The Magician's Handbook. Exhibit 8. John Wade's Box of Tricks, Partial List. Chinese Rings, Loda Bowl, Sponge Balls, Stripper Deck, Magician's Wax. Postcard from Father, dated July 19, 1956. Photograph of unidentified granite building. Handwriting largely illegible. Out of here soon. Can't wait to... Dad. Magician's Milk, 2 cans. Silk Load. Book. Time Telepathy. Book. Tarbell Course in Magic, Volume 1. Assorted Catalogs, Karras Studio of Magic. That summer when John was 11, it got to where I didn't have any choice. The drinking just got worse and worse. His father would be down at the American Legion all afternoon and half the night. Finally, I got up the nerve to check him into the state treatment center up north. I hate to say it, but it was a relief to have him out of the house. John and I, we both adored the man, but suddenly all the tension was gone, and we could have supper without sitting there on the edge of our seats. A couple of times we drove up to visit John's dad on weekends. We'd go out on this grassy lawn and eat picnic lunches and... Well, it was nice.
I remember one time we were getting ready to leave. I remember his father walked us over to the car and put his arms around me and kissed me and almost cried and said he loved me and he was sorry and everything would be better now. It wasn't, though. It never got much better. Eleanor K. Wade. In every trick, there are two carefully thought-out lines, the way it looks and the way it is. The success of your work depends upon your understanding the relationship of these lines. Robert Parrish, The Magician's Handbook. I'm no psychiatrist, but if you ask me, politicians in general are pretty insecure people. Look at me, fat as a pig, love-starved. Laughter. So we go public. We're performers. We get up on stage and sing and dance and do our little show. Anything to please folks. Anything for applause. Like children. Just suck up the love. Anthony L. Tony Carbo. John used to come into the store a lot, 10, 11 years old. At first he seemed frightened, but after a while he started spending almost every Saturday there. A nice kid, I thought. I'd show him the new effects that came in. Effects, that's what we call tricks. And we'd practice them together. He always called me the Carrot Lady, even when he got older. I doubt if he even knew my real name. Sandra Cara, Cara's Studio of Magic. If you want to find help for your vet, avoid churches that ascribe evil to outside forces, the devil tempting or taking over people. One reason for this is that maintaining an external locus of control, the devil made me do it, precludes adult responses such as growing and profiting from experience. Patience H.C. Mason, Recovering from the War. Millions of them. Big mean fuckers. These were some very pissed off flies. Richard Thinbill. The fact that a person acted pursuant to order of his government or of a superior does not relieve him from responsibility under international law. The Nuremberg Principles. Glossary. Load. A hidden packet or bundle of objects to be magically produced. Loadable. A piece of magical apparatus which appears to be empty or filled with liquid at the magician's whim. Misdirection. Any technique used by a magician to divert the audience's attention from noticing some secret maneuver. Dear Kath, this letter will be short because there's not much to say right now. All I can think about is hopping on that freedom bird and heading home and getting married and spending the next 10 years in bed. Horny, horny. Basically, things have been pretty tense lately. We keep taking casualties, mostly booby traps and stuff, but we can't ever find old Victor Charlie. It gets frustrating, and I guess everybody's kind of wound up. Hard to describe, like this weird infection or something. Sometimes you can almost smell it or taste it, like there's something wrong with the air. Anyhow, I've made it this far, so I guess I'll be okay. I love you. Just like those two weirdo snakes I mentioned. 1 + 1 = 0. Eternally horny. Sorcerer. John Wade. Letter. January 13, 1968. The point of greatest danger for an individual confronted with a crisis is not during the period of preparation for the battle, nor fighting the battle itself, but in the period immediately after the battle is over. Then, completely exhausted and drained emotionally, he must watch his decisions most carefully. There is an increased possibility of error because he may lack the necessary cushion of emotional and mental reserve, which is essential for good judgment. Richard M. Nixon. After his 1941 defeat, Johnson's frustration and rage erupted over hapless aides. He was screaming and hollering and throwing his arms. Robert A. Cairo, The Years of Lyndon Johnson. We knew it was coming, sure, but I guess John hoped he had one more miracle up his sleeve. Didn't pan out. That last night when the returns started coming in, he had this blank expression on his face. I can't pin it down exactly. Just empty. Like a walking dead man. Defeat does things to people. Anthony L. Tony Carbo. He drank some, that's true. Clobbered like that. Who wouldn't? Ruth Rasmussen. A candidate who has lost an election for the presidency, after all he has gone through in the campaign, is literally in a state of shock for at least a month after the election. Thomas E. Dewey. John called me that night. He sounded almost asleep. I guess the emotion came later. A delayed shock or something. He was always the type to stew, just like his father. Eleanor K. Wade. The cruel circumstances attending Al Smith's defeat caused the memory of it to rankle in him for a long time. Like everyone else, he wanted to be loved. Matthew and Hannah Josephson, Al Smith, hero of the cities. Exhibit 9. Primary election results. Democratic Farmer Labor Party, State of Minnesota, September 9, 1986. Durkee, 73%. Wade, 21%. Other, 6%. Footnote. Aren't we all? John Wade, he's beyond knowing. He's an other. For all my years of struggle with this depressing record, for all the travel and interviews and musty libraries, the man's soul remains for me an absolute and impenetrable unknown. A name tag drifting willy-nilly on oceans of hapless fact. 12 notebooks worth, and more to come. What drives me on, I realize, is a craving to force entry into another heart, to trick the tumblers of natural law, to perform miracles of knowing. It's human nature. We are fascinated, all of us, by the implacable otherness of others. And we wish to penetrate by hypothesis, by daydream, by scientific investigation, those leaden walls that encase the human spirit, that define it and guard it and hold it forever inaccessible. I love you, someone says. And instantly we begin to wonder, well, how much? And when the answer comes, with my whole heart, we then wonder about the wholeness of a fickle heart. Our lovers, our husbands, our wives, our fathers, our gods, they are all beyond us. End of note. Chapter 13. The Nature of the Beast. The war was aimless. No targets, no visible enemy. There was nothing to shoot back at. Men were hurt, and then more men were hurt, and nothing was ever gained by it. The ambushes never worked. The patrols turned up nothing but women and kids and old men. Like that bullshit kids game, Rusty Cally said one evening. They hide, we seek, except we're chasing a bunch of gookish fucking ghosts. In the dark, someone did witch imitations. Someone else laughed. For Sorcerer, who sat listening at his foxhole, the war had become a state of mind. Not bedlam exactly, but the din was nearby. Eyeballs for eyeballs, Cally said. One of your famous Bible regulations. All through February they worked an AO called Pinkville, a chain of dark, sullen hamlets tucked up against the South China Sea. The men hated the place and feared it. On their maps the sector was shaded a bright, shimmering pink, to signify a built-up area with many hamlets and paddy dikes and fields of rice. But for Charlie Company, there was nothing bright about Pinkville. It was spook country. The geography of evil, tunnels and bamboo thickets and mud huts and graves. On February 25th, 1968, they stumbled into a minefield near a village called Lac Son. I'm killed, someone said. And he was. A steady gray rain was falling. Thunder advanced from the mountains to the west. After an hour, a pair of dust-off choppers settled in. The casualties were piled aboard, and the helicopters rose into the rain with 3 more dead, 12 more wounded. Don't mean zip, Cally said. His face was childlike and flaccid. He turned to one of the medics. What's up, Doc? 3 weeks later, on March 14th, a booby-trapped 155 round blew Sergeant George Cox into several large wet pieces. Dyson lost both legs. Hendrickson lost an arm and a leg. Two or three men were crying. Others wanted to cry but couldn't remember how. In the late afternoon of March 15th, John Wade received a short letter from Kathy. It was composed on light blue stationery with a strip of embossed gold running along the top margin. Her handwriting was dark and confident. "What I hope," she wrote him, "is that someday you'll understand that I need things for myself. I need a productive future, a real life. When you get home, John, you'll have to treat me like the human being I am. I've grown up. I'm different now, and you are too, and we'll both have to make adjustments. We have to be looser with each other, not so wound up or something. You can't squeeze me so much. I need to feel like I'm not a puppet. Anyway, just so you know, I've been going out with a couple of guys. It's nothing serious. Repeat, nothing serious. I love you, and I think we can be wonderful together." Sorcerer wrote back that evening, "What do you get when you breed VC with rats?" He smiled to himself and jotted down the answer on a separate slip of paper. "Midget rats," he wrote. At 7:22 on the morning of March 16th, 1968, the lead elements of Charlie Company boarded a flight of helicopters that climbed into the thin, rosy sunlight, gathered into assault formation, then banked south and skimmed low and fast over scarred, mangled, bombed-out countryside toward a landing zone just west of Pinkville. Something was wrong. Maybe it was the sunlight. Sorcerer felt dazed and half asleep, still dreaming wild dawn dreams. All night, he'd been caught up in pink rivers and pink paddies. Even now, squatting at the rear of the chopper, he couldn't flush away the pink. All that color. It was wrong. The air was wrong. The smells were wrong. And the thin, rosy sunlight, and how the men seemed wrapped inside themselves. Meadlow and Mitchell and Thinbill sat with their eyes closed. Sledge fiddled with his radio. Conti was off in some mental whorehouse. PFC Weatherby kept wiping his M16 with a towel. First the barrel, and then his face, and then the barrel again. Boyce and Maples and Lieutenant Callie sat side by side in the chopper's open doorway, sharing a cigarette, quietly peering down at the cratered fields and paddies. Pure wrongness, Sorcerer knew. He could taste the sunlight. It had a rusty, metallic flavor, like nails on his tongue. For a few seconds, Sorcerer shut his eyes and retreated behind the mirrors in his head, pretending to be elsewhere. But even then, the landscapes kept coming at him fast and lurid. At 7:30, the choppers banked in a long arc and approached the hamlet of Tuan Yen from the southwest. Below, almost straight ahead, white puffs of smoke opened up in the paddies just outside the village. The artillery barrage swept across the fields and into the western fringes of Tuan Yen, cutting through underbrush and bamboo and banana trees, setting fires here and there, skirting northward as the helicopters skimmed in low over the drop zone. The door gunners were now laying down a steady, suppressing fire. They leaned into their big guns, shoulders twitching. The noise made Sorcerer's eyelids go haywire. "Down and dirty!" someone yelled, and the chopper settled into a wide, dry paddy. Mitchell was first off, then Boyce and Conti and Meadlow, then Maples, then Sledge, then Thinbill and the stubby lieutenant. Sorcerer went last. He jumped into the sunlight, fell flat, found himself alone in the paddy. The others had vanished. There was gunfire all around, a machine gun wind, and the wind seemed to pick him up and blow him from place to place. He couldn't keep his legs beneath him. For a time he lay pinned down by things unnatural, the wind and heat, the wicked sunlight. He would not remember pushing to his feet. Directly ahead, a pair of stately old coconut trees burst into flame. Just inside the village, Sorcerer found a pile of dead goats. He found a pretty girl with her pants down. She was dead, too. She looked at him cross-eyed. Her hair was gone. He found dead dogs, dead chickens. Farther along, he encountered someone's forehead. He found three dead water buffalo. He found a dead monkey. He found ducks pecking at a dead toddler. Events had been channeling this way for a long while. Months of terror. Months of slaughter. And now, in the